Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Father, I pray, through your Word, speak to our hearts, because nothing is as important as your Word for us. Your Word is life. Your Word is alive. It brings light where there is darkness. And Lord, I pray that may the entrance of your word bring light to our hearts. And I pray that today, may we not only hear the word, may we be doers of the word, because it is in doing the word that we get to be at rest. We get to prosper with you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And everybody say it big. Now, I had a story about a man who was on his deathbed. And he surprised everybody. He said he wanted two people to join him before he died for his last words. And the first one was his lawyer. The other one was his accountant. Now, this surprised everybody, including the lawyer and the accountant. Now, when they were on his deathbed, he asked both of them, one to be on the other side of the bed. And so they leaned in and they asked, really, I mean, this is a privilege for us to hear your last word. But why did you choose us? And then this man said, you know, over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, there was a man who died between two thieves. Today we continue in our sermon series, Jesus's Last Words. And today, I want to focus on the words that Jesus spoke to one of the thieves. I don't know if it was the one on the right or on the left, but one of them. And he said, today, you will be with me in paradise. And that is an amazing statement for Jesus. And we're going to spend the rest of our time together exploring, but also applying to our daily experience. Now, once in a while, I love movies. I watch movies here and there, but there's a time I used to love movies, and one of my all-time favorite movies is The Lion King. Anybody loves The Lion King? Okay, let's say likes The Lion King. And I think they tried many, but my favorite is Lion King number one, the first one. Now, what impressed me, what I love about that movie is not about Mufasa with his amazing voice, or Simba and the hyenas. Do it again, Mufasa. No, I won't go there. You know, you can see. I memorized everything. But it's the two characters, Timon and Pumbaa. Now, these guys, by accident, met each other and they became buddies. And they made it the plot of their lives to look for that place where they would rest from every stress of life. And they would say, Hakuna Matata. It means no worries, you know? It's a problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. They looked for the Hakuna Matata, and you know what? They found the place, the Hakuna Matata. It was a beautiful garden, and so they entered, they rested, and the more they turned around, they rested, they felt restless. It was intriguing that finally they're in this beautiful garden, they can eat all they can, but they were restless. You know, the writers of these movies really captured everything that we go through in our lives. This is what I know about all of us in this room. We are on a search for that place called Hakuna Matata. We all long to be at rest. That is why we work so hard, so that we can have enough money to shield us from the worries of life. That is why some of us, at the end of the year or somewhere in between the year, you go away for a vacation to a beautiful place that gives you a feeling of rest. And today in our world, our world is very spiritual. There is every kind of meditation, even yoga, where you get to calm yourself so you can be at rest. And so we here on a search of power, and we think the more power we have, the more rest we get. We're looking for more money, more leisure, everything. A single person thinks, when I get married to the Prince Charming, everything is going to be okay. only to discover he's not prince, he's not charming. We all long for this place of rest. And you know why? That is how God created us. In Genesis, we see paradise, the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a beautiful garden. They had everything in perfection, including an unbroken relationship and fellowship with God Himself. Everything was beautiful, was amazing. And then in chapter 3, we see they fell into the temptation and they gave in to sin, and the rest they had, the beautiful fellowship they had with their maker, was broken. And that was the beginning of toil. For Adam, he had to spend every part of his life sweating. Work was no longer blessed. It was a toil. Eve had to bear pain in childbirth. And from then, our souls have been restless and have been empty. And we try to fulfill our souls with the things of life, only to discover that the more we try, the more we remain restless. But here's the good news. That which we lost through our forefathers, Adam and Eve, in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, God has given back to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Because rest can only be found in God, not in the things that God has made. Can I hear a good amen to that? That is the good news. And that is why the words of this thief, but also of Jesus, the thief, are so important for us, to help us understand how can we find rest for our restless souls today. How can we live in this world but be at peace with ourselves and with God? Now that's how we go to Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. And let's learn from these words. Now, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. We heard that you did some miracles. Now do it again right now." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence," and verse 41 is important, "we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Even the thief exonerated Jesus on the cross. Amazing. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now when Jesus says truly, he's saying you can count on this. I guarantee you, this is a statement of truth, and I guarantee it with my life. You will be with me in paradise. Oh. Two thieves sought a way out in the face of death. The first criminal who hurled insults at Jesus and said, "You saved others, now you save us," only wanted to use the power of Jesus without him being transformed in his heart. In the face of death, he's like, "Now do something about the situation. Let's get out of here and possibly go back into his life of crime." You see, this guy represents many of us who want to use Jesus, but we don't love Jesus. We give him lip service, but our hearts are far away from Jesus. We want some religion, but we don't want Jesus. You know, in election season, you see politicians begin to flock churches. They are not looking for Jesus. They are looking for votes in the name of Jesus. They even want to be prayed over. And here at Wetoto, we don't do that. We don't. When tragedy hits an area, people in that area begin to go into church. Perhaps they are so overcome by the grief and the sorrow and they cannot do anything about it. They remember, maybe there's a God in heaven. He can help us in our time of need. But when time goes, they also leave church. They want to use Jesus, but their hearts are afar from Jesus. But also the people who really are better. You show up on Sunday for a religious experience to cleanse your conscience and then go back into corruption. You just come to just tick one of those boxes to clean your conscience and possibly say, let me get rid of my sins of the week as I start on the new ones for the week. Some of you come and you serve, you think by just doing good things, God is going to be happy with you. But your heart is far from Jesus. That is thief number one, who represents many people in this world, in this place. And as long as you want to use Jesus and your heart is far from Jesus, you will never find paradise. You will stay restless. And guess what? Even when God has performed miracles in your life, doesn't mean that actually you get rest. What about criminal number two? He represents people who acknowledge they are hopeless without God. Because he acknowledged that we deserve to be on the cross. That's what he said. It is those who say, I am completely broken, worthless, I'm wretched, I need help. And to such, God gives rest for their souls. To such, God gives eternal life. To such, God promises paradise. And I pray that all of us in this room today will be like thief number two, the one who acknowledged they are broken, they are hopeless, and then they turn to Jesus as their only hope. Amen. That is my prayer. Because only in Jesus do we find rest for our souls. Only in Jesus. Now, three things about paradise that I want to bring to our attention. One, paradise is that place of rest. That word paradise signified a king's garden, a beautiful place that kings made. It was a beautiful place of tranquility. They used to go there to just find some peace of mind. Paradise, that a place you go to run away from the worries of life. But unfortunately, the gardens of this world cannot bring ultimate peace to your heart. But paradise is something that the Bible teaches, actually. It is a place of rest. It is a place where you actually get to be at peace with yourself and at peace with God. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus shows us that actually there's a reality of rest, but also there's a reality of restlessness, both in this life, but also in the afterlife. So he tells this story, verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. He had masape, like Ugandans would say here. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades. Where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send that Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in this agony. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime, when you are alive, You received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here. He is in paradise. He's at peace. He's no longer filled with sores. He's not hungry anymore. And you are there in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, and nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Now, let me just make it clear from the start. In this story, does not mean that poor people end up in heaven. And doesn't mean that rich people end up in hell. That is not the point of the story. Jesus is teaching there is a real place of rest and of torment after this life. And the way you get to either place depends on how you lived your life today. So your decisions that you make today are so important, and they affect what is going to happen when you rest in peace. Sort of. Paradise is a place we get to live with Jesus in unbroken fellowship. I look forward to that place, to that day. Paradise is a place where all people have died and have placed their faith in Jesus go after they die. It is a place of no pain, no suffering, no sorrow. And I can guarantee you, everybody on this planet Earth longs for such a place. And we will do anything to get there. And our only hope for paradise is Jesus. Jesus is our only hope for paradise. So thief number two, when he acknowledged that he was broken, and he looked to God and said, remember me in your kingdom. In that very moment, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Can I also add that actually, paradise is never paradise minus Jesus. You know, some people get saved to just escape hell. That's what the first thief wanted, to escape the consequences of his sins. But no relationship with Jesus. If you don't love Jesus here on earth, you'll never love him on the other side. That is true. Paradise is not just a place. It is a relationship with Jesus. Let's not make a mistake that the Israelites made. They thought the promised land was about a place. It is true, it was about a place, but more than a place, it was about the God of the place. So Jesus is our only hope for paradise. In John 14, 6, he said, I am the way to paradise. I am the truth. I'm the one who declares truth concerning eternal life. I am the life itself. It is me who gives life to everybody who places their faith in me. I'm the way. Exclusive statement. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. Not true. It doesn't matter what you just be a good person. No, Jesus said, I'm the way. The truth and the life. I've had people on funerals said, rest in peace, even when you know the individual who died really was. If you are in Uganda and you follow current affairs, there was a guy who died in massacre. And even the church said, this one, no. He's too, there's no peace. You see, St. Augustine said this, and I love this statement. You have made us for yourself. We were made to be fulfilled by God and God alone. Oh Lord, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. The things of this life will not fulfill you. They can serve you for a moment, but deep on the inside you'll remain empty until you find your rest in Jesus. Thief number two got to experience that. He had lived a life of crime, thinking that in doing all the criminal acts, he would be fulfilled. But I'm so glad that on the cross, he looked to the only one who could give him final rest. And friends, the only one who gives rest to our souls, his name is Jesus. He died for your sin, and he wants to bring rest to you today. Jesus is our only hope for rest in paradise. Isaiah tells us this, and this is very true. Verse 20, 21, but the wicked, those who are far from God, those who don't follow Jesus, are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up myrrh and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. We always say, there is no rest for the wicked. It is only in Christ that your soul and my soul can find rest. Don't live for the things of this world. These things are meant to serve us, but not to satisfy us. God is the only one who satisfies the longing of your soul. Those deepest longings of your soul can never be fulfilled by anything in this life. Because we were never made by God to be fulfilled by his stuff. We were made to be fulfilled by God himself. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So follow Jesus. Trust him every day of your life. And see, you will be at rest. And for us, even if you're a follower of Jesus, I know it. This is true. You can be assured of eternal life, and you know it's true. And you know, one day, there's not going to be any sorrow, but you live this life restless. Can I suggest to you, and let you know, after the Bible teaches, that you can actually live at rest even now. Right now. You can live at rest. Right now. Eternal life is not just after you die. Eternal life is also now. Because eternal life is knowing Jesus. It is having a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is going to bring peace to you while you face the storms of life. He does that. Because the default setup of life, can I tell you, friends, is suffering. That's the default setup of this life. It is broken. Today it's the economy. Tomorrow it's something else. It was COVID a few years ago. Things just keep on morphing, but it's brokenness here and there. You lose a job. You lose a loved one. You get sick. You have a terminal disease. That is the default setup of life. How do you go through these storms of life without Jesus? It is difficult. But Jesus promises us that actually in this life, even though we go through trouble, we can be at rest on the inside of us. I'm reminded of a story of Horatio Spafford. He was a businessman that lost his business in Chicago, in the Chicago fire. And then he sent his family to London on a ship, his wife and his four daughters, as they were journeying to London in the Atlantic Ocean. There was a shipwreck, and all his four girls died in that shipwreck. The wife made it to London, and then she sends a telegram back home, and she said, saved alone. And then he decided to go and be with his wife in London. On the ship, on the Atlantic, as he journeyed to London, the captain, knowing that Spafford was actually on the ship, came to him when they approached the area. There was a shipwreck. And then he told him, this is the very area where your daughters died. In that moment, God filled Horatio Spafford, because he was a follower of Jesus. He filled his heart with comfort. And he penned a song that we love to sing. It goes, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. How can it be well with your soul when everything that meant everything to you is gone? There has to be something that is bigger than everything you own. Jesus must be enough for you to be at rest in your soul. Friends, if Jesus is not enough, there is nothing that will be enough in your life. Jesus must be enough. Jesus must be everything. And that's what brought him comfort. And he has penned down a song that we sing in our time of sorrow. It is well. Why? Because Jesus is the anchor of my soul. He is the peace in the storms that I face. He assures that he's going to carry me in my darkest valleys because his presence is right there with me. He gives me rest even when everything around me is falling apart. Friends, embrace Jesus today and you will receive peace in your life. Jesus, and he said this actually, Jesus in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. Trouble and peace. Actually, peace makes sense in the context of trouble. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, friends, Christian in this place, actually, you can be at peace in your heart. And this comes when you are intentional in nurturing your relationship with Jesus through spending time with your Lord, with your Savior in prayer and meditation on His Word. That is the only way you can calm your soul in this world that is nuts. The world has gone bananas and you can go bananas with this world unless you spend some time to be with Jesus. Let me tell you, the worst days of my life have been the days I think I have too much to do and I don't have enough time to pray. And so I wake up very early in the morning. I come in my office at 6. Then I begin answering the emails. At the end of the day, I feel so empty, so deflated. Then I remember I started off on the wrong note. I forgot that the one who makes sense of the chaos, I left him somewhere. Nurture your relationship with Jesus. Spend time in meditation, in prayer, in filling your soul with the promises of God that are yes, and say amen to them, and you will find rest for your soul wherever you go. Come on, somebody, give an amen to God. That is a beautiful promise. Amen. And then thirdly and lastly, paradise not only is a place of rest with Jesus, Jesus is our only hope to paradise, rest for our souls. But also, this paradise rest is a gift. It's a gift. And that is good news. It's available for all. It's a gift. It's a gift. Thief number two, he simply looked to Jesus and said, remember me in your kingdom. And guess what? Jesus said, today, you are going to be with me. Please understand this. By the time you are crucified on the cross, you are the worst of the worst. The Romans devised crucifixion as a way of deterring crime in Rome. They wanted to make a public spectacle, an example of certain people so that you don't do that. It was not something, in fact, crucifixion cannot be accepted in our world today, even though we're filled with confusion. So thief number two must have been a bad guy. Possibly he had done everything possible to do as a criminal. And yet in the face of death, at that moment, he sees there's a man in the middle who is innocent, but not only innocent, he is God. And in that moment, this thief said, for me, I deserve the punishment that I'm going through because I am a sinner. He acknowledged that he was broken. He deserved it. He acknowledged he was hopeless. And then he turned to Jesus and said, remember me. This guy had nothing good on his resume. But he actually gets into heaven. And that's the point. Acceptance before God is not a result of what you have done. It is only on the basis of what Jesus has done for you. And that is why it's good news. That means we all qualify. You are welcome to experience rest because it is a gift. But two things have to happen. Number one, you must acknowledge you are a sinner. Your good deeds don't cut it. In fact, God says they stink. But God, I'm a good person. No, nobody is good. Only God is good. God's standard is so perfect that none of us can ever meet it. We need help. And God has already sent help in the person of Jesus Christ. So acknowledge you are helpless. You are broken. You are a sinner. But don't stop at that. Number two, lean on Jesus as your only Savior. When you do that, paradise, rest is going to be given to you, no matter what you have done in your life. So, what is stopping you from experiencing paradise today? Nothing. Believe, trust, and rest. This gift is yours to receive today. Today. Jesus said, today, you will be with me. Wow. Paradise is about being with Jesus. You will be with me. Wow. In paradise. You can finally rest. That which you have longed for and worked hard for and has been elusive, you can get by just believing and trusting in me as a gift. That is why it is good news. It's a gift of grace. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. And so I'm praying that if you're in this place and your soul is restless, you've been trying to make meaning of life, you've tried everything you can and you're still restless, today you can find rest in the person of Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. Emulate thief number two. Acknowledge you're broken and simply lean and trust Jesus today and he's going to save you. Let's bow our heads all across this auditorium. Online, I'm going to pray shortly. You know it in your heart that actually you are far from God. And maybe you think you don't deserve anything good. And that's okay. God sees that. He understands us. And that is why his son came and he died on that cross. The death he died was not his own. It was for all of us. He died as our substitute and paid the penalty for our sin so that that which we have longed for, we can get it as a gift. Rest, paradise, salvation is yours today. If you would trust in him today, you can be with him in paradise. So my friend, if you're in this place, you are online, on air, and you know it in your heart that you need to find rest for your soul, come to Jesus today. Surrender your heart to Jesus. And God is going to address that longing in your heart. And he's going to fulfill you. So if you're here and you're saying, Pastor Eddie, you pray for me. I need rest for my soul. I want to trust Jesus as my only Savior today. I want to pray for you online. There's a link that is showing up. Click it. Fill in your details. Would love to get to know who you are and pray for you. If you're in this room right now, and you're saying to the Pastor Eddie, pray for me. I want that rest you are talking about. I want Jesus. Lift up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Raise your hand right now. Let me pray for you right now. God bless you upstairs. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you right now. Rest is yours. Paradise is yours. Rest is yours. Raise your hand. Today, wherever you are. Do not leave this place restless. Remember, our souls are restless until they find their rest in Jesus. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you, wherever you are. Because Jesus loves you. God, you promise that if anybody comes to you you never push them away. And those who believe and trust in you, you give them the right to become your children. So God, I thank you that you did everything for us to experience paradise, to experience rest for our souls. So God, I just want to commit everybody here in this place who has said yes to you, God. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say it a big amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.